Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We have a schedule. And as I wrote on channel3000.com, remember when Goody said there's got to be a sense of urgency? Well, guess what? There better be some damn urgency right out of the gates, given the way the schedule plays. Edition. The Packers assistant coaches on the defensive side of the football scheduled to appear at the podium today. We talked to the offensive assistants yesterday, and there's a lot of, some might say, glazing, not dunking, to use the donut terms of our favorite partner, Quick Trip, of Jaden Reed. I want to ask Tausch about that.
Oh, boy.
Addition. And... what do you mean, oh boy? What are you saying? You think I'm being a conspiracy theorist?
No. You know when they're raving and throwing flowers at you.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Giving you community service awards. Uh-oh.
The Ed Block Courage Award. And the Brian Bulaga, what are you doing here on a Thursday edition?
I take the five.
I'm Wilde and Tausch, a 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or some combination of those anyway, and of course everything you need on the Wisconsin on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Been a while since I messed that up. All new, all redesigned, all free, all customizable. The new ESPN Wisconsin app available in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I had a great day out at University Ridge Golf Course yesterday. I was in a bit of a conundrum.
Ooh, I like conundrums.
Yesterday. So we had a baseball game, Max's squad, over right near University Ridge. We played the Verona Wildcats last night, and we have a nice little rivalry with them.
Mm-hmm. Good squad.
And the game was at 6. So... we teed off at 12:48. So, you know, it's still middle of May, so it's not slammed. Kids aren't out of school. So it was, you know, I looked at it and I thought it's going to be tight, but I have the kids show up 45 minutes pregame. We throw, we get some batting practice, do some grounders, do some pop-ups, we go play. That's what we do.
Love it, coach.
And I thought if it got to the point, I would just leave at hole 16 or 17 because I'm not going to be late. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I have an absolutely disastrous front nine. I think I shoot 50.
Mm.
Not great, right?
Tough to break 200 when you play that one.
My mom shot better than that the other day.
I would have broken 200. It still would have been 100. But
thanks for
all
clarifying.
Of a sudden on the back nine, I start finding a little something. And I made a faux pas. There was a group ahead of us, a bunch of younger, I don't know, whippersnappers, mid-20s probably, you know, sucking down Coors Lights and having a day. I'm 270 out uphill on a par 5. I said, you know what, give me the 3-wood. I'm just going to smash it, and I'll leave it short. Old T smashes it.
Oh, no.
And old T runs that bad boy right up on the green.
Right up into the whippersnappers?
For everybody that remembers the Mike Ditka story, where you're out golfing and Ditka just hits tee shot or just hits India, old T Ditka'd it. But it was a wow. So from 270 back, I put my hand up like, hey, my bad, brah. Old T hit it a little too good. Boom, boom, boom. They gave an acknowledgement of, hey, great shot. So I make a birdie. Then I par. All of a sudden, old T is one under through four, and the clock is ticking because it's a slow back nine.
Oh, no, the whippersnappers aren't playing. Pace of play was poor.
Well, no, it wasn't the whippersnappers. There was I'm not going to stereotype here anything. There was some
people
that were a little old. There's some older ladies that were in front of us that were two holes behind.
My kind of crowd.
It is what it is.
The Wednesday.
Yeah, be careful.
It is what it is. Afternoon crowd. Yeah, that makes sense.
Part of our target demographic on
Canasta.
The show, by the way.
They were playing Canasta.
This is where it gets mean.
Can I ask a question before you continue? I don't want you to lose your
Certainly.
Train of thought. Did
Will
you yell?
Stop asking. Will you stop asking if I may? Just ask the question.
This you
is
don't
your
like
little
it.
Shtick.
I don't want you to forget.
I don't like it.
Did you yell four or not?
No. No.
Is that a faux pas?
I don't know, because four is more for errant shots. This thing was absolutely
I hit it so well.
Gutted.
I wasn't going to yell four. All right,
Dude,
next question,
crushed it.
If like, I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
270 out with a 3-wood.
Uphill.
How often?
Uphill.
Both ways. How often are you hitting that shot? If you shot that same ball 10 times, how many times are you putting it where you put it?
At 0.5? Most? No, at most 2.
Okay.
At most.
All right.
He's
All
got
right.
enough in him where that wasn't a total fluke.
Okay. All right.
No,
I'm
I thought
asking.
There was a – listen, man, as Chili would say, there was a chance to have a chance.
To skull some
very,
poor guy.
Very emasculating day for me yesterday, though.
All right, finish
Played
your story.
Played with three guys – all younger than me, and I'm usually, I'm not saying, listen, man, I'm going to be 48 years old. I'm playing on one leg. A lot of arthritis. There's just a lot of issues with that. So it's true. I'm working out. I'm getting my upper body's still pretty strong, but my lower half isn't where it needs to be anymore. It's just, that's where it is.
I've heard that.
This young 28-year-old cat, he's strong like a bull. And
You're
I mean,
playing with
he
Lucas
is
Van
blowing
Ness.
It by me. He's blowing it by me by 50 and 60 yards, man. I hit one pretty good, and I hit it about 250 off with my driver, which in the old days I was a 280, 300 guy. Mm-hmm. I might need your guy from TaylorMade to get me a new driver again. That might be part of it. Technology's getting a little
Do you want him to see if he gets you a new knee also or just the driver? Sean Rozacek.
I think the driver
priorities.
The driver would be a little bit easier. So a little emasculating. Old T starting to say, well, the kid's, you know, this kid's 28, I'm 48. 20 years, I still feel young outside of my knee, but I'm starting to come to grips that I'm not saying I need to start getting a bunch of hybrids in my bag, but I'm almost Champions Tour eligible, which I'm hoping AmFam will give me an exemption. I'm going to go play. Anywho. I am one under par after 5 holes on the back nine. And the clock is ticking. Oh. It ain't getting any faster. Do I end up saying I have to, like in Caddyshack, I don't shoot under par. I don't on nines. Like if I'm 2-3 over, I'm all right. So I get to, I think, 16 and I'm at even par.
And what time is it?
And it is now, it's 4. like 440.
Oh, boy.
And I got three holes left.
Oh, you're not going
to
make
it. And you have
it.
To be there at what time again, since that was mentioned like 11 minutes ago?
Well, I have to be ready to go at 5:15. Obviously, as the coach and our head coach and our other coach both were missing because their daughters had softball. So it was old T was running the show yesterday.
Oh, you were
the
interim skipper T yesterday.
Well,
oh,
this
man.
Happens. So I didn't want to be late. Verona's a bustling town. It's getting super busy. It's the time of
biggest
night.
Biggest game of the year.
I decided to finish the round.
No!
Because I wanted to shoot under par. No, I did. I did.
All right. And of course, questions.
Guess what?
One, did you get to the game late? Or at least late for batting practice? And
I was there at 5:17. I was there at 5:17, so I was 2 minutes late.
Oh, but you rushed and you ended up over par on the back nine.
Coaches have to be perfect.
Spoiler alert.
You're correct. And I had a 7-foot bender to shoot 39, which would have been a good. Anything you're in the, if you're under 40, for me, I am happier than a clam.
What'd the 28-year-old guy shoot?
But it's 502 or 503 at this point. My other and the one of the other guys I'm playing, he's coaching Little League in Verona. He has to be there at his game starts at 5:30.
Oh,
but
he cut it even closer.
Pitch. He's feeding the machine, so it's not as big a deal. I got to get our boys ready. So we rushed it. I end up pulling the putt a little bit. Leave it. I left it on the amateur side, not the pro side. End up shooting a 40, go about my business, and that was my day. And we got beat last night, too, at Verona. So tough day for old T.
Nick and Madison, 270 with the 3-wood? Are you sure about that? Did you use your Vortex rangefinder?
Unfortunately, I'm not eligible for that, and I am asking our friends at Vortex to throw me a set of binos so I can call the game with Matt LaPay a little more accurately this year. We'll see if that happens.
So just
I was
to be clear,
270 out.
Or so you can see your ball because you hit it so far.
In that segment, you managed to ask for binoculars/rangefinder and a new driver from TaylorMade.
No, I'm not asking for a rangefinder. I am hit your boy up. I do need a new left-handed driver because it must be the driver, not the driver.
Gotta be.
If that makes sense.
I have a question, if I may.
Yeah. If I may.
So you notoriously on road trips are anti-stop, like will not stop anywhere. But if you're somewhere else before leaving, that makes it okay to be a little bit late.
I didn't want to be late, Jesse, and I wasn't. Had the traffic not been brutal.
Had the grandma's been a little faster on
the
road.
The traffic's fault.
Well, the Canasta, I call them the Canasta gals in front of us, kind of caught
us. That's
not nice. They slowed down play enough to throw me off.
Okay. Just sounds to me like it was everybody's fault but yours that you got there 2 minutes late.
Not a lot
coach.
Of Trumaning here.
No, Truman not attending the show. All right. Someone who will be attending the show at 9:30 joining us on Thursday instead of Wednesday because he had a conflict. Yesterday, maybe he was playing golf with his Canasta friends down in Florida. Brian Bulaga is scheduled to appear. We'll talk to him coming up. I don't know if you heard, but the schedule came out yesterday from the National Football League, the Packers.
Is Jesse okay with this now? Is he done pouting about the leaks that, by the way, were all right?
They were. Hey,
the
NFL,
leaks were right.
I am here to say NFL nerd, nerding on NFL.
They had it.
I was not familiar with your game.
Yeah, he's on
and
it. He or
you
she.
Were on it. So bravo to you, nerding on NFL. I take back any of my... I didn't say he was wrong. I just said I don't know who this is, so I'm not willing to go with it.
Oh, by the way,
they were right about Thanksgiving changing the start time of the Detroit game to noon.
Yeah, they were on it. I like that move too.
That was my big key that I thought that thing wasn't legit because they said noon on Thanksgiving. I'm like, that's not
always 11:30.
Yeah,
right.
They were right.
Well,
they changed
ironically,
it.
You know what? Ironically, because Jason, you were like giving Jordan Schultz his coffee. Oh, great job, Jordan, but he works for Fox. Yeah. The game's on CBS,
the game's
bro.
On CBS.
Not even on Fox.
Yes, Channel 3. We're going to have that one. My team over at Channel 3, we've got the opener. We're very excited about that.
Does it annoy anybody else that Jason promotes Channel 3 more than he does our show? Does that annoy anybody else or just me?
How can you possibly say that?
Don't pout. I knew that was going to trigger you. Don't pout.
Well, it's not
I'm just
true.
Rattling your cage.
Yeah, I'll tell you this.
Cage. Oh, and by the way,
I promote the Wisconsin State Journal a lot less.
That's fair. Why is bowling on TV?
I'm promoting my stuff. Jason's promoting his stuff. Yeah. I'm promoting my stuff.
Yeah, you guys, why don't you just keep going? I'll keep putting Pickler stuff up. Why don't we just do this? Put a Pickler ad up on there. We'll do Pickler.
Dude,
we'll do this.
We took a team picture with the Packers head coach holding
look at this.
His
hey, get
Pickler
that off there.
Sign.
Hey, get that off there. Look at that. That's a good looking crew.
60 yard line.
I had one of the guys I golfed with yesterday said, Wildy's a handful, isn't he? And I said, thank you for recognizing that. Because you write this article, he's a big fan of yours. You write
Sounds
this
like
article
it.
Lamenting the fact that Green Bay doesn't get any home games, and in the same breath, you start ranting that it's not fair that the Packers have two home games and they don't get enough December home games.
I'm not playing.
He thought that was classic.
All right. Is he a big fan or is he not a big fan, first of all?
Well, that's...
Because he doesn't sound like he's a big fan.
He's more of a fan than Packaholic, or whatever that guy's name was.
Count Pacula.
Get it right.
There you go.
Booberry. All right. I want to get to Bulaga on time, which we probably won't.
That's not happening.
I would like to get to the schedule. We have to be the only Packers-centric show on the planet that the day
we
after the schedule
comes out.
We
put the schedule
out
yesterday. I told you at Minnesota to end the season. We knew it yesterday. And if Jesse wasn't such a baby crying about how he hates leaks, oh, this is terrible. We knew the meat and potatoes of the schedule. We didn't know every date, but it was all there yesterday already, Jason.
All right. So your golfing buddy, who may or may not be a fan of me, certainly makes an interesting point, and we will discuss that. The fact that they finally open at home.
I don't like the fact that there's no games in January at the Lambeau.
Again, I don't care where the games are. I'm telling you what Ron Wolf would have said.
Your elbow voice is very good, by the way.
I think that is the happiest I've ever seen Paula. I'm telling you right now, you furry little fella there. I
could
get into your guys' business, but boy, oh boy, does she look happy there.
Windows and doors of Wisconsin, and stop implying that I'm some sort of a furry.
Pictures say a thousand words, brother. And you as Cookie Monster and Elmo, big smiles from your wife. That's all I'm saying. I'm also saying there's no better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now, because Pell is offering up to 6 years of 0% finance. You set your free in-home consultation today, and you commit to nothing. Nada. At this point, they'll listen to your vision and suggest the Pella materials and customizations to make it a reality. Get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions do apply. The deal ends May 31st. So visit PellaWI.com today.
A Packers-centric show. We'll talk about the Packers schedule, and we'll do it next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. I'm not afraid of getting older. I will hesitate from dying young. I see the light and go past my shoulder. I will hesitate from dying young. And I'm not afraid.
The 2025 NFL schedule is out. Not that you would know from listening to our program. There it is right there if you're watching on video. Tausch, I was on with Strolf and Gabe Neitzel on our schedule reaction show. What were your takeaways that jumped out at you? And I know you're getting after me for wanting my cake and eating it too. But playing two home games in a five-day span against two teams that reached the NFC Championship game, one 2 years ago, one last year, you better damn well win those games. Because you come out 0-2 and you only got six games at home left on your schedule, you have dug yourself a large hole. I understand that Mike McCarthy would say, Jason, that's a polluted mindset. And it is. But they got to start fast. They got to start fast. They got to finish strong with five of their last seven games in the division. Who cares what they do in the middle of the year? Your thoughts?
Great quote. Start fast. Jesse, throw that schedule back up on the YouTube screen. So what we saw yesterday. Please. Well,
you're welcome
with Jesse. Thank you, Jesse. I mean, realistically, if you win those two, and listen, man, Washington, I think, is getting a little pre-glazy to me. Like, everybody is all glaze city on them. I'd slow my roll a little bit.
Okay.
I would.
Okay.
Second-year quarterbacks, I give them their flowers. They had a nice season. They finished the season strong. But let's slow down a little bit.
Okay.
I've already stated I think this is a great matchup for Green Bay to play Detroit with all of their changes.
Yep, transition
that they've made. Mm-hmm. And Hutchison, Lord knows, you know, I've seen him running. He's battling back from a snapped leg. We'll see where he's at. You win those two games, you're going to be 5-0. You're going to be 5-0, probably 6-0. And that's a great start heading into Pittsburgh. If you're 6-0 heading into Pittsburgh, you know, everybody is going to be glazing you. So I think it's obviously a tough start, but you're at home. And I've always been taught, win your home games, split on the road, go win in the playoffs. That's your formula.
Yep.
Great teams don't lose home games. Good teams win a vast majority of them. Green Bay has only been good at home. This start gives you a chance to say, we back. Hey, Kings of the North, no more. That's what this schedule gives you the opportunity to put your flag back up top that mountain and say, hey, it was cute. Hey, that little Honolulu blue was cute. We're ready to retake. We're ready to retake what's ours. Mm. And that's why I love that. I love that. That's the kind of the setup that what Green Bay is going to get to start.
Okay, so what's more likely? Because first of all, I 100% agree with you that getting the Lions as they are transitioning from Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson to their new coordinators is a good thing. I do. I totally agree with you. What's more likely, that the Packers are 6-0, as you just stated, going into the Pittsburgh game against Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph, or that they're 0-2 going to Cleveland?
6-0. I look at it this way. Detroit is going to be – I don't know if Detroit will be favored. I think when you add in the 3 points for home field, they probably will be. And outside of that, looking at that schedule, you're going to be favored in every one of those games. I know at Dallas, oh, that's cute. You're going to be favored more than likely. Pittsburgh, again, is that wild card game to me. You're going to be favored in every game until you get to week 10. And as we know, the Philadelphia Eagles are a really good football team. They're defending champions. They deserve respect. Mm-hmm. You don't know what that could look like. If you're humming along and you're 7-1, 8-1, whatever it is, that could change. And that, by the way, that's a home game. So the lion's share of the what I would consider very tough squads, outside of the divisional games, obviously, are at home. Philly at home. Baltimore at home. So I look at this schedule, and if you're making me pick a loss, which I know you could say Detroit, and I'm not going to fight you on it. I think it's going to be tough, but I like kind of the edge that you get from your consistency compared to what they're going to be in. I think the hardest game on this schedule, and I'm going to chalk up as the guarantee L, or what I think is going to be an L. Guess what you think I'm going to say.
I'm
it's at Denver. I did not anticipate this being a
The game you think is a guaranteed L is on Sunday, December 14th
at Denver.
I think listen, I have already said home
take
games.
Take off your green and gold glasses,
16-1 except for Denver. Hey,
no. I didn't say they're going to be 16-1. I'm not getting into that yet. I said when I look at this schedule. I'm not going to do my predicting yet. I said when I looked at this schedule and how it lays out with Detroit, the first week of the season could definitely be an L. I look at that game as a 50-50 prop. Okay? I think we'll be favored more against Washington. And then I think it's your soft underbelly of the schedules right there. Cleveland, Cincinnati will put up some points. We better put up a bunch of points against that defense. Cincy will be a tough battle. I'm not saying Cincy's a gimme, but it's, I believe, at home. Good teams win home games, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Carolina, all this other stuff. I think Denver's going to beat us. I look at that game on December 14th, and if I'm saying which game do I feel like we're not going to win, I don't feel good about, bingo. I think that's the game. I think Denver's going to be one of those teams that if we go down to Hard Rock, Rockford, and the futures are on it, I like the Denver Broncos. I like the way they trended. I like the way they played. And I think that is a team that you're going to get great value on. And I think they're going to beat us up out in the elevation. I think Green Bay gets beat out in Denver.
Okay. I understand you want to withhold your predictions, but we do usually just take a gander at the schedule and say, I think right now, as I look at them, this is a blank record team. I would like to do that at some point, if you'd be so kind. I see it as a lot harder than you do. And I do know that they play home games.
You think the beginning, get ready to take Detroit out of the equation here, okay? Detroit out of the equation. What game in that?
That's literally who they begin with.
Well, what do you mean?
I just said take that out of the equation.
You play them twice.
Okay, I'm taking them out of the equation as required.
31 teams.
Is the beginning part of the season the soft underbelly? They can win 6 or 7 in a row.
I think expecting. Now we're extending it to 7 in a row. Expecting them to go 4-0 on the road, Cleveland, Dallas, Arizona, Pittsburgh. I understand that this is also a team that lost to Tommy DeVito a couple years ago when they were, you know, that was right before they went on their 3-game winning streak. They still, I am not brimming with overconfidence about this schedule. I think there's some really hard football games. Some of them are at home.
No blank.
I agree with you.
No blank.
Well, you just basically said the only game on there that you're certain is going to be a loss is Denver. You know this. This happens with every season.
First off, that's not what I said. I said the game that that is not what I said. I said if I'm picking one game I think they're definitely going to lose, it's Denver. That's what I said.
I'm sorry. Did I misquote you?
I just said it.
He's not saying that's the only game they're going to lose. It's just the one they're for sure going to lose.
I just said they could easily lose
to Detroit
twice.
The only game they're certainly going to... I changed definitely to certainly. That's on me. Bottom line, that's the only game you're saying, okay, they don't win that game. Fine.
I don't think they're beating Denver out there. No, that is... And I think they could beat... I'm not saying they're going to. I said I don't think...
understand.
Okay. What I was trying to do and I thought would be interactive with our fans, but since you guys don't want to do that because it's not Monday, what game on the schedule do you feel worse about?
I don't want to do that because Brian Bulaga is coming up next.
We can ask Brian the question,
we
too.
We can, but we'll take their thoughts after we're done with him.
See, I don't like when you try to manipulate my language. I don't like that.
I
know I do it to you a lot. I don't like that. Okay?
Okay, I'm gonna stand
Mark Tauscher here for Kohler Services, and if, you know, you need to remodel your co-host and maybe let them not use
remodel
words,
your co-host?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, get snap.
I wish mindset. I could do that. Hey, Doug, I'd oh, like to remodel my co-host.
All right. If you've been putting off your bath or shower remodel, now is the time to turn to Kohler Services. Family-owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, $1,000 off your Lugstone shower remodel. No interest financing for 12 months. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote. And you get fast professional installation. That is always included. Again, KohlerServicesWI.com. The only point I was trying to make is Denver's the game I feel like we're not winning. Every other game I feel like we can win. I didn't say we're going 16-1. Don't dare try to put those words in my mouth.
I didn't say that. Jesse did. So try to pay attention to who says what on this show. Right now, I'm going to say Brian Bulaga is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app, customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
When I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
God, I love this song. And I love what it means, too, on this show. It means a day late, but not a dollar short. Our favorite right tackle. Certainly, he's held in higher regard than Zach Tom. What the hell are we doing? This is Brian Bulaga on Wildy and Tausch. Brian, good morning. I don't know if you heard the schedule's out, and Tausch is picking the Packers to be 16-1. No, he's not. That's a joke.
They're just for
settle
sure losing
down
at Denver. They're losing at Denver.
I heard a little bit of the banter. I heard a little bit of the banter before I got on.
Now you know what I deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a little bit of it. I will say this. On Monday, it came out, Homer and I were talking about it, that Green Bay was – there it is. There's the schedule. That Green Bay was playing Chicago on that Saturday. And I told Homer I wanted to know who they played the week prior. And now I see that they're in Denver. So they are away and technically, mm-hmm. you know, a West Coast-ish type game. And now that I'm seeing it's in elevation, so they're traveling, changing time zones, and now they're going to get home extremely late. And have less of a time to prep and recover and then travel again on a short week. I mean, that's an absolute that's a bad schedule from, you know, those that week right there. I mean, that's not good. That Denver, Chicago, Baltimore stretch is not good. That's not a good stretch. I mean, that sticks out to me. That stretch of game, I mean, you can look at it, Chicago, Denver, Chicago, Baltimore, Minnesota. That ending stretch is a very difficult run of games. That's not easy.
I would say, Blue, if they go 2-2 there, I think that's a win.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough. I mean, you go out to Denver, I mean, regardless of how Denver's playing, right? They could be playing good. They could be playing bad. Whatever, right? You go out there, the time change, the elevation, the travel, you come back, you get back at, we'll just say, I mean, who knows? You can get back at midnight, you can get back at 1. Who knows when they get back? I mean, you don't know. Short week turnaround, you play on Saturday. You have to get right back in the building on Monday, start game planning, and there's really no time to rest and recover. And then your week speeds up, and you just get going again. There's really no time to get your body right, and you're traveling on essentially, I mean, I would assume he's going to push this thing all the way as far as he can and travel late Friday to, you know, give the guys as much time to recover. But, you know, the NFL with that schedule, knowing the division most likely is going to be extremely competitive and tight at the end, giving Green Bay the road Denver game, then the road Green Bay game on a short week is it's not nice. Yeah, and, we'll just put it that way.
And Brian, that's, I think from a former player standpoint, you always looked at the schedule as, all right, where's the bye? That's the first thing I think most of us would look at. And then who do you play to start? And then those tough road games, where they fall, weather-wise, everything else. The bye absolutely sucks.
Like, oh, yeah.
It is the worst-case scenario, I think, from a player's standpoint, is I don't want the bye that early. You're especially if you get off to the start that Green Bay is going to need to get off to, playing two teams that were big-time playoff teams right away at home. At Dallas is always a circus. You get off to that good start. Let's say you get rolling. The last thing you want to do is take a break. So, again, they're going to always spin it and say, well, you know, there's injuries and bye always comes at a good time. This bye, I can tell you right now, it's the earliest bye I believe you can have, and it absolutely sucks. That, to me, overarching theme from the schedule, your point on being at Denver and at Chicago and then another home game against a really good Ravens team and then at Minnesota is a horrific stretch to finish. But I think having that bye and having to run off 13 straight weeks, that's going to be a big test. And you add in that 13 straight weeks, your hardest part of your schedule is the last four. And you're probably going to want a mental break. That ain't coming.
No. And the funny thing about that is normally you like to have that mini bye with the Thursday game. Their Thursday game is the second week of the season against Washington. Like, so they're getting the Thursday game, and then they're getting the bye week like a few weeks later. Like, it's literally like they're getting absolutely hosed on the bye week. Like,
they're lucky they got the Thanksgiving game in a way, because at least that gives them that kind of second mini bye. Because the first one's wasted, right? Like, it sucks that you got to plan a short week right away in week two, but you're at home in both of those games, so you don't have to travel for either one. No one wants their mini bye after two games. That doesn't help you, you know?
No.
And especially when you have your bye week, like you said, then in week five after four games. Now, in 2016, you guys had a really early bye, the year that Rodgers said run the table. In 2023, I think they had even an earlier bye than this. I think it was in week four, which is even worse. But generally speaking, they've had a lot of early byes. The one year that they didn't was in 2022, when they could have had the bye after five games coming back from London. They turned it down, and then they didn't have the bye until there were four games left in the season. And that didn't work out very well for them either. So, Brian, when you looked at this schedule, because, again, I want to get to some other stuff, including what Steno had to say, which I'm sure you and Homer talked about as well on Monday, but I want to get to that. But when you look at this schedule, I see a really difficult schedule. Tausch doesn't want to make predictions. I don't normally either, but I'm saying
I just told you that the ending part of this schedule is a bear. I think in blue, correct me if I'm wrong, Detroit at home. They don't have either of their coordinators back. I think it's a great time to get Detroit in the season.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't sold on Washington. I think you're looking, if you can beat Detroit, and we have not had good success outside of that Thanksgiving Day game a couple years ago against the Detroit Lions. Motivation's going to be high, all of those things. I think that is your soft underbelly of the season. You got to win six or seven of those first eight. Gotta.
Yeah, I mean, to play Detroit in week one without with the new coordinators is the time to do it, right? Before they get their footing and get going in the season. Like, that is the time to play them right off the get as they're getting used to each other. Because, like, they're going to obviously get some reps in the preseason, but they're not going to get the reps in the preseason with the starters, and they're not going to get that game feel with Goff and those starting guys and the rotations and how they want to do things with the one. So this, how this is going to work is, you know, week one against Green Bay in Green Bay. So, like, this is the time you want to play them, and how are these coordinators going to react to things in real time when it's for real and against a division opponent. So, like, yes, week one is when you're going to want to play them. I'm not saying it's going to be easy by any stretch, because at the end of the day, the players are the ones that decide the outcome of the game. And Detroit still have really good players. That's not taking anything away from them. But again, that would be the time you want them before they get rolling and these coordinators get a feel for the, you know, what they need to do. And then, yeah, I mean, Washington, you know, I get what they did last year was awfully impressive. The quarterback is awfully impressive. But, yeah, you know, you got to show me more than 1 year.
Don't crown
them. You got to show me more than 1 year. Not saying they can't do it, right? I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm not saying they can't be a good team again. But, again, playing them early, not a bad, you know, deal. Playing them early on a Thursday night at home, getting that quick turnaround, not a bad situation either. And then you move on to the rest of that, you know, front of that schedule. You know, Cleveland, Dallas, unfortunately a bye week. But then the Bengals, then you got to go to Arizona. Not that bad, but then at Pittsburgh, Carolina should be okay. But then you go Philly. And then that's where things start to kind of get a little tough, right? I mean, I'm not saying the Giants are going to be difficult, but we lost to DeVito out there, as Jason said when I wasn't on. Like, I was listening to you guys. Like, we lost to DeVito out there a few years back. So, like, things start to get difficult once that Eagles game hits. And I think, depending on who's the quarterback out in Pittsburgh, things could get awfully interesting for that game. They didn't put that as a Sunday night game for no reason.
Correct.
Like, I'm just saying, that's not a Sunday night, because in any other reality, right, any other season, that's not a Sunday night football game. It's just not.
We gotta have Mason Rudolph in prime time. There's no doubt about it. All right.
Yeah.
So Tausch doesn't want to do this. You and I can do this. Then we'll get to more football things. 2 years ago, I picked the Packers to go 6-11. I was wrong. They went 9-8.
Wrong.
They made the playoffs. Last year, I picked them to go 12-5. They finished 11-6. So I was less wrong last year.
Wrong.
I'm saying 10-7 looking at this schedule. Tausch doesn't want to do that. Brian, what say you?
Can you put it back up, Jesse, so I can see it?
Why, certainly.
I have no problem. I have no problem making early predictions.
What a different reaction when Brian asks you. I ask him, and I'm asking him to go dig out.
He asked. He said, can you put it back up?
It was not, Jesse, put up the schedule
again.
Put
it up there. That's not what I said.
Get me a driver.
I certainly like them over their win-loss number, which is 9.5. So, like, I like him over the 9.5. So that means I like him at 10 no matter what.
Okay.
Looking at the schedule, you know, Detroit's tough to predict. I like him at 11. I like him at 11 wins.
All right.
That's where I like him at.
All right.
I think that's the sweet spot for them right now. Now, sure, they could be better than that, right? Like, I mean, that's the funny part about. Oh yeah, could, I mean, sure, but that's the funny part about the NFL. Like, when you look at the teams that you think are gonna be good, right? Like, you look at the Minnesotas and you look at the Detroits, and you know, you look at them and you're like, man, these teams are supposed to be good, and things happen throughout a season, right? Like, I mean, we've seen it throughout the years. Like, teams that are supposed to be really good, they just aren't. And you're like, what happened? And they end up winning 6-7 games, and the schedule just shifts because because teams are good, teams are bad, and things change. But I think Green Bay with this schedule, you look at the last 1, 2, 3, 4, like 4 or 5 games are going to be very difficult. Very difficult, but I still think they can get 11 wins out of this schedule.
All right. Well, I want to get to some of the things that Steno said this week. I also want to talk about I don't like this term, but it is the perfect term. The amount of glazing that was occurring about Jaden Reed yesterday from Jason Vrabel and Ryan Mahaffey. And look, I'm not here to dispute that he's not a great leader or a great teammate. I just thought it was interesting, given the events of earlier in the week. We'll ask Brian about both of those things, including, and I kind of said this to Steno, like, hey, I work with 2 really good right tackles on a regular basis, and hearing him say that the right tackle job is up for competition, not once but twice, certainly perked my ears. We'll talk about that with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. It's light, refreshing, and has zero bubbles. It's perfect for a day on the golf course or a day at American Family Field. Cheers to Surfside.
You might not know I'm here in this big city.
We roll on with Brian Bulaga. All-time great Packers right tackle. Brian, did you ever show up for work and find out that you were competing for your job? And help me understand the fine line between the NFL is a competitive business. You can't be complacent because someone's going to take your job, right? Tausch always played with that mentality. I understand that. The good ones do. But there's also something to be said, correct me if I'm wrong, for knowing that you are appreciated and held in high regard. And when the offensive coordinator, not once but twice, and then yesterday with Luke Butkus, certainly didn't do anything to quell this, says basically that you're going into a contract year and your job is now open for competition too, that's a little jarring to me. What did you make of the Zach Tom, dare I say, situation at right tackle?
I'm taken back by it a little bit. I always went into every season thinking I had to compete for my spot. Whether or not that was the case upstairs didn't really matter to me one way or another, but that's how I thought about it, right? Like, didn't know, regardless of who was on the depth chart or who they drafted or whatever the case, that's how I felt personally, that I had to go out there and in OTAs and training camp and ultimately in games and prove it. Like, that was my mentality no matter what, right? Like, you have to earn your spot, earn your salary, and et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was always a feeling, right? Like, no matter what, like, not no matter what, because if you play bad, I mean, you're eventually going to get the axe, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you play bad. I mean, it doesn't matter any with your salary. I mean, they always can find a way out because the contracts aren't guaranteed. But if you play good, there's always a sense that you are appreciated by the coaching staff, by your position coach, and by the GM, right? Like, there's that feeling that, you know, that I had, that Campy and that Coach McCarthy and even when Steno and LaFleur were there, that, like, you know, like, I think these guys appreciate the way that I play and things like that. So to hear that Tom also is competing for a job, like, there's 2 ways that I look at it, right? Like, I either look at this as it's a little kick in the butt for motivation for how the season ended, right? Because, like, mm-hmm. I think we all talked about it. Like, his last, like, 2 or 3 games weren't his best of the season. And we all, like, unfortunately for, you know, fans and even coaches at times and even people like us that watch the games sometimes, you remember like the last game or the last two games. You see, you don't remember the entire body of work. His last few games weren't his best, right? Like, and that's sometimes what sticks in your brain. And maybe it's a little nudge of motivation, right? Maybe that's what this is, because I look at that. I look at the depth of the roster. I mean, not the roster, but essentially the depth chart of the offensive line right now, right? Like, I look at it right now. And I guess if you're going to say he's in a competition, that means you want him to compete with Belton and the seventh round pick, which is his name's Williams, right?
John That's his Williams. Last name. Yes, the composer of the Star Wars theme. Yeah.
Boy, is that so a essentially bland name? John Williams.
So, okay,
like Mark.
So here's my ultimate question, which Tausch, you can answer, which I don't think this would ever happen in any realm. There's a chance then, with what they're saying, that Zach Tom's going to watch a game from the sidelines. He's going to stand on the sidelines and watch the Packers play this season. I don't see that happening. Yes. So, like, that's what I just don't see that happening in any way, shape, or form.
Let me ask you this, because I was under the impression, and listen, man, I get it. I think he did struggle. He gave up a couple things in that playoff game. The group as a whole, it was not good, and that's why the urgency to make moves and draft guys and bring in Banks was a part mm-hmm. of the process of what Goody looked at. But I also wonder, there's been a lot of talk, and we have glazed Zach Tom. I think he's a really good player. Mm-hmm. I think he was mm-hmm. dinged up. He didn't have his best season, no doubt about it, but I think he is going to be the right tackle for the Green Bay Packers for the foreseeable future. I wonder if this is a little bit of a stave off any of the, I don't know if Zach Tom's going to come in. Is he going to play without a new deal? Like, just wonder how much of that is at play, because you have three potential starters that are going to be free agents.
Mm-hmm.
You have Elgton Jenkins, who Jason Wilde accurately, Packaholic, reported that he was not at camp and wants a new deal. So mm-hmm. you can't have a whole group of disgruntled, what am I going to do? So Zach Tom's going to be the starting right tackle. If you want to put some dunkers on it, great. He's going to be the guy. Is it going to be a competition? I don't see it. You want to throw Belton out there and see? Maybe I'm missing something. Zach Tom's going to be a starter this season. Now, if they don't get something worked out with Elgton Jenkins and Rob Domofsky's right, I don't see that either, but Zach Tom will be a starter when they go play Detroit on that opener on Sunday. I would bet donuts to dollars on that.
Yes. I mean, okay, so like that's a perfect – I mean, you explained it perfectly, because Green Bay historically, and it goes back to when you were playing and everything, they don't let young – at first contract good linemen walk out the door. They've never done it, and they're not going to do it. Like, it's just not something they historically do. Like, because if Zach Tom walks out the door, someone will pay him a lot of money to go play right tackle. And, like, this isn't
yes.
– like, that's – like, there's no question that he is a good right tackle. Like, this isn't like, yep. like we're not making that up. Like, that's not a shot in the dark here. Like, he's good. Did he struggle at the end of the season? I think so. I think he was also banged up. And, like, I'm not making excuses for him. Like, if you're out there, you got to play. You got to go do what you got to do. Like, right? You got to get the job done. And he struggled at times. But, like, I don't see that team going out there with someone else besides Zach Tom at right tackle at this point. You made a good point. Like, if you have Elgton right now, a little disgruntled, and Zach Tom also disgruntled, now you're missing two key pieces that don't really want to practice until they get something worked out. That offensive line looks a little different.
And Sean Ryan missed out on $2 million by two snaps, which, again, I know the Packers can't just give him the $2 million now, but you're telling me that that doesn't create some hard feelings when he was sharing time earlier in the season with the first-round pick, and all he had to do was get two more snaps back then to achieve the playing time incentive from the league to get $2 million more. Oh, and by the way, you've also taken your incumbent left tackle and told him that even though he beat the tar out of the first-round pick last year to keep his job as the starting left tackle, that that job is open again. It would seem that the only person who's probably genuinely happy on your offensive line is the new guy who just got a big-time contract in free agency. Right?
Yep. He's the
Am I wrong?
He's the only cat. No, he's the only cat that's happy right now. He's the only guy that I would have met. I didn't know that about Sean Ryan. Oh, boy, would that drive me up the wall. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Domofsky had a good story on it that basically the agent thought that he had achieved it based on the numbers that were on, like, the game books. The league and the NFLPA use a different measure. He needed to play two more offensive snaps. Two!
Oh.
And he would have gotten a $2 million. It's a great story from Rob. According to Rob's story, the Packers can't just say, well, we're going to give it to you anyway. Because it's a league-based pay scale increase based on playing time.
They can redo his contract if
they
want to
do
it. They can.
Yeah. But they don't want to, right? Because they want to let him walk like they let John Runyon go.
Jordan Love should give it to him.
Maybe they should do that. Sean Ryan is – they kind of battering him around. At some point, Sean Ryan's going to – and he has to go out and play well because this is going to be more than likely a walk year for him. I'm guessing they want to put Belton in there at some point down the road and, you know, battle there. But the Zach Tom piece to this is interesting. I still think he's going to get a new contract before Thanksgiving, and he's going to be one of the guys because Brian's 100% right. They know they have a good player. They want to motivate him because he didn't play to the level. He's one of those guys that he played to a really high level. He pops a peck. He fights his way. He battles in. He plays all season, competes. And, yes, hey, bottom line is guys are going to give stuff up. I don't care who you are. You give some stuff up. He was a little sloppy. He didn't play as well as we'd like to see at the end. But if you don't think there's 31 teams that would gladly pay him big money, he ain't going anywhere. He'll be a G&G-er for a while. I'd almost guarantee it. But, Blue, I mean, the Elgton Jenkins component to this I think is fascinating. I think Elgton Jenkins should – we all knew he wanted to play center. Like, as we joked about, our sourcing, pretty doggone good that last year – I think he would have loved to have played center last year, but obviously with Josh Myers. He's no problem doing that, but when that guaranteed money dries up and an organization that looks at 30-year-olds – like Leonardo DiCaprio does, you start looking at it saying, I don't know, Jimmy. I need a little bread, or I think I'm going to get jettisoned out for the next 19-year-old that comes down the pipe.
I mean, well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, I would imagine he wants to, like, he's fine with the center move. Like, I know he's fine with the center move. The thing is, from a player standpoint, right, when you have no more guaranteed cash in the contract, I get he's got 2 years left on the deal, but that does not mean anything, right? It means absolutely nothing. If you make that switch to center and say it doesn't go as planned, right, like, and you struggle at times, they're going to kick you to the curb because you're over that age, and then that's the last thing you have on tape then going into the market. And that hurts you. That you know, you have no time then to, like, adjust. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no adjustment period for you as a player to, like kind of work into that position. Like there's no, like, two. Like, normally, if you're making a major position change like that, you would expect a guy, like, of his quality and experience, like, by probably towards, I don't know what you think, Tausch, but I think probably by week I would say probably 7, 8, 9. He's going to be humming really good with it. Like, I'm not saying he's going to make mistakes or anything, but like, but where he's comfortable, where he feels really good, it's probably mid-season with that thing. But like, there's chances that like Green Bay sees that as a negative, right? Like that he should have been from week one, like dialed in. And when there's no more guaranteed money left on the table, they're like, ah, we can't have that for another year. He's over 32. Let's bring in someone else. And he's done then. And that is a difficult place for a guy. Now he's going into the market and teams are like, well, what are you? Are you a center? Are you a guard? What do we look at you as? And he just wants
What would you do if you're rotten? Would you just sit here until you get – because there are some on Packers Twitter that I think bring up good points saying, well, he's also getting paid left guard money, like good money. He would be paid a really high-end center, at least if he gets the next 2 years, without any guarantees. Maybe just do that. What would you do if you were Elgton Jenkins?
Let me just interject before you answer, Brian, because I feel pretty good about my sourcing, too. I don't think he's looking for, like, this blockbuster, huge, like, four-year extension. I think he would be happy if they guaranteed a meaningful portion of the existing money on his contract, because Brian is 1,000,000% right. Those 2 years are not worth the paper they're printed on. He's going to get paid his salary this year, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But look, I was there for Josh Sitton, and I know that was a different deal. And Elgton Jenkins was proclaimed to be, quote, an all-pro center by the GM. So I'm not saying that he's not going to be their center this year. But stuff happens. And after this year, you could say, well, you know what? We're going to move Zach Tom to center. We're going to play Belton at right tackle. And we're going to get rid of Elgton because he's got a $24 million cap number for 2026.
And he's old. So,
and he's going to be 30 on the day after Christmas. So all I think he wants is of that, whatever it is, $34 million. Dollars.
That's a bad birthday. Day after
Devontae
Christmas?
Adams is Christmas Eve, I think. And Elton's the day after Christmas. All I think he wants is some of that money that's left, guaranteed, so he knows he's going to be here the next 2 years. I don't think that's an unfair ask. I just don't.
Agree.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair ask. To be honest with you, like, if you're going to move him positions and make him your center, I think that's a fair ask. At the least, give him 2 years then, right, to let him work into that position. Let him make that his own. And then if you want to move on from him after 2 years, that's great. You know what I'm saying? Then move on from him and then at least give him an opportunity then to show the rest of the league that he can play that position. Right? Like, and it's not, this isn't a charity case. He's going to go out and play good football for you. Like, he really is. Elton's a really good player. Like, and he's going to play center at a high level. Like I've said before, I've said it to you guys, I've said it to Homer. He has played next to really high IQ football players. He played next to Corey for a long time, one of the better centers I've ever been around. He played next to Dave, a very high IQ left tackle, in this offense. So he's heard every single call you could even imagine in this offense. He's seen every adjustment from a tackle's point of view, from a center's point of view. He knows this scheme. So, like, he gets it. He can make every call. You just got to give him some time to do it. And that doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen in 2 weeks. Like, things are different in a game, right? When you have a shade lined up over you, things are a little bit different, right? Like, it's a little bit faster than seeing it on day. Yeah, it happens a little bit quicker. So you got to give a guy a little bit of time to make that adjustment. So, like, that's what kind of what Jason's saying. That's what Tosh's saying. That's like what I'm saying. Like, if you guarantee him that contract, like the rest of this thing, or at least a fairly big portion of this, I mean, you give him a lot of comfort that he can go out there and do this thing and you know, feel like he can go do his job properly. He can cut it loose. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, dude, you know what, Blue? It's pretty simple. You got this 2 years. Add a year to spread it out. Or if you want to add to a fourth year, you're probably going to bring the average base salary down, guarantee 50, 60% of it. So you got 2 years. You get an out after three. Elton's happy. Mm-hmm. Your player's happy. But before we let you go, if you're Elgton Jenkins, are you taking a snap at training camp until you get something done?
I don't think so.
All right.
If I'm him, if I'm him, okay, so we look at it this way, right? Like, if I'm him, and, like, I'm not advising him, obviously, like, that, I mean, because they made these moves in the offseason dependent on him moving to center. Like, that was dependent on him playing that position. So you go get Banks. You draft Belton. You do all these things dependent on this guy who knows this scheme, who's very versatile, kicking inside. If you no longer have this guy kicking inside that knows this offense and can do these things, that causes a big issue up front. So it's better off that they just get something done with him, make everything kosher with those, with him, and, you know, make him feel like he can go out and do his job and he's comfortable and they can just cut it loose. Like, we've all said it. He's not asking for a mega deal. That's not what I think he wants. I don't think that's what he's looking for.
Jason?
And, like, you said it.
He doesn't. Like, he doesn't. And to Brian's point, I want to let Brian finish. If I'm him, this is the only little – you guys know this. You play in the league. Your leverage sucks. The only thing you guys have is to withhold your services. And what better time to withhold your services than when this team predicated its entire offensive line plan on you moving positions to center. So this is the only time you have some measure of leverage. And by the way, the Packers can help themselves by converting that money and create more cap space and spreading out the charge.
You don't want four disgruntled offensive linemen with one happy Banks.
No.
That's what I'm saying, all the way to the bank.
Yeah. Like, just think about that for a second. Like, I've never even thought about that for, like, I can never, like, put myself in a room, in an O-line room with Campy or even when I was with Steno, like, where four out of the five guys were agitated about
their
contract.
Can you imagine City and TJ?
David?
Oh, my God.
Mad about their contracts at once. Like,
they're mad when they're the highest paid guys in the league.
Yeah, they're still not happy about their they're still not happy about their contracts at that point in time. Like, so, like, to have all four guys, like, upset at once, like, I don't know, like, that tension in that room, even though, like, the O-line room is great, like, it is, but, like, listen, man, at the end of the day, like, this thing is a business. It is a business, and things get – tensions do rise when, like, you know, you start to get criticized heavily, and you know the criticism, it gets taken upstairs too. And upstairs makes those business decisions. It's ooh, yeah, like, you're better off just, like, settling, putting some of these fires out when you can and do it now and get it over with. And smooth things out with the veteran guys. Just, like, get it done. Just get it done. And everyone's happy.
To put a bow on this, I think what we're all saying here is, in a little clip from Rounders, when old KGB is sitting there, and when we're talking about Elgton Jenkins, it's pretty simple. Pay that man his monies.
Yes. Yep.
And hope they get the cards you need on the flop. All right, Brian, we kept you way too long. You're the best, buddy. Thanks. We'll see you in a little bit next week.
Yep, take care.
That is Brian Bulaga. Brian Bulaga, we raise a Coors Light to you, don't we, Tausch?
We do. Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And you guys know it's out in Golden, Colorado. I say it every time we talk. I think that's going to be an L. I think it's going to be an L for Packer fans, but you could turn that L when we go out to Denver and the Broncos end up beating Green Bay. You could turn it into a W by going out to Golden, Colorado, getting yourself a Coors Light at that beautiful factory. You get what I'm saying? Have a Coors Light. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company. A Golden, Colorado.
Take a beat
or a beating from the Broncos and then have a Coors Light.
This is the latest start ever to a 10 o'clock hour.
It's new league record. We'll start the 10 o'clock hour around 10:25. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.